My name is Neil Kulkarni, and you're listening to Excel Podcasts, the perfect career exploration podcast for any student out there. Episode 24. I mean, I'll be very honest, it's been so fun learning from all these amazing career professionals and students, but our entrepreneurship conversations flat out just blew me away. We received great response from our recent episode about entrepreneurship with the CEO of Burbs Entertainment, and that's why we decided to start the entrepreneurship series, highlighting three passionate entrepreneurs, their journey, their voice, and advice just for you. If you're interested in business, getting creative, and learning so much more amazing advice, then this episode with the founder and CEO of the Mata app is just for you. This is part one of the entrepreneurship series, and be sure to listen to it all as I'm sure you'll learn a lot of entrepreneurial strategies and tips from this conversation. And if you truly enjoyed it, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and spread the word. This episode is also partnered with Entrepreneurship, a project that widens youth access to entrepreneurial education, and is founded by Naomi Porter, a 2020 Gold Award Girl Scout and Conversationalist honoree. Her team has provided entrepreneurial education to over 250 youth individuals through 25 plus virtual workshops, and please do check them out as their tag, You Can Do It Too, showcases the encouragement and value they hope to bring to the youth with entrepreneurship. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation about how you can get involved in entrepreneurship and amplify your voice. Get excited, everyone, because in this episode of Excel Podcasts, we're delving into something passionate, something that has revolutionized the world as we know it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, it's entrepreneurship. And what better way to learn than from an entrepreneur who's continued to be successful in the fashion industry with the Mata app, Miss Madison Samara Jean. Now, I obviously think it's better to hear from our guest speaker today. So, Miss Samara Jean, to get started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and, in the simplest terms, what is the Mata app?
I am Madison Samara Jean, and I'm the founder of the Mata app. So, we are basically an outfit recommendation and marketplace app. So we use artificial intelligence to recommend outfits personalized for every customer, and then you can shop any brand straight through our app. So we carry the luxury brands and the mass fashion brands pretty much all in one place. I grew up in a little, very small town in about an hour outside of Cleveland, and my whole family, you know, they're all entrepreneurs. So I think having a unique career was pretty normal to me, and it was kind of my normal. So that's kind of how I got to where I am today. I remember when I was growing up, you know, my older brother and I, with my parents, we'd just be throwing around like random business ideas in the car when I was like 13. So it was like a very normal thing for me to be thinking about, like, where can we bring new like advancement, where are these white spaces that we can fill? And so I think it really is a skill that you have to develop. And I'm very lucky that I kind of started that from a young age.
Yeah, I think it's super, super important to get started from a young age, even if you may not be the most experienced, you're getting that knowledge and you're getting that experience. And I think especially with being an entrepreneur, there's so many moving pieces. Even as yourself, you're a founder, you're the CEO of the Mata app. Like, a lot of it's like figuring out, you know, the things on your own and whoever else you're working with. So I'm curious to know exactly, like, what is the day in the life of your work as an entrepreneur? Like, really, what can individual students expect? Because I'm sure, like, entrepreneurship, as you mentioned, it's such a unique career profession. There can be like so many things down the road that people who want to pursue entrepreneurship just may not see it coming.
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and I feel like everyone's always disappointed in my answer. But, you know, every day is very different, and I think every entrepreneur will tell you a different version of what I'm saying. But, you know, some days are the fun, glamorous days that you kind of dream of. Like, I have the fashion week or like meeting with CEOs that I've admired for so long. And I love that. But then most of my day is really spent in the back of an Uber, like sending emails and running around
So
from
there's
meeting.
good and bad.
Yeah. And I think there's like, you know, the reality of it, which is very long nights and very different working hours than you're used to. Like, I think that it was really interesting watching. Like, I'm 23 years old, so I just graduated school, and all of my friends went into very, you know, traditional 9 to 5 career paths. And my day is so not like that. Like, my work kind of follows me everywhere, but at the same time, I get to really decide my own schedule. So I think it's, you know, my friends can turn it off at 5 or 6 o'clock and not think about it till they log on the next day. And it'll be like 11 p.m. and I'm still up working.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of really moving on your feet, but there's also a lot of flexibility with it. So I think students need to understand that, like, you almost need to make a sacrifice.
Yes. And, you know, I've noticed just from hiring and people that have joined my team, some people click automatically with the way we work and, you know, the lifestyle of a startup. And some people, it's really not for them. And that's like neither good nor bad. It's just like keeping a very practical, like, mindset about it, knowing like I want to start a company, but then my life will look like this. Like, there is a give and take
Yeah.
with everything, and both have, you know, their own pros and cons.
Got it. So I think students and really anyone who wants to get into entrepreneurship really needs to understand like the reality that they're putting themselves in. But I think going more into really how to become an entrepreneur, I mean, there's so many characteristics, there's so many skill sets. You make a quick Google search and there'll be like communication, like confidence, like it's just so much. And I think sometimes that kind of stumbles students who want to enter entrepreneurship. And personally, I really dial it down to two main aspects, the vision and really the technical or skill background. So I think going into the vision aspect, I mean, looking back on just 2020, I think one of the most searched topics on Google was like the why. And obviously, because we had such a crazy year with the pandemic and really all the issues that were come our way, I think really to find that sense of passion from other individuals and career professionals such as yourself, I think it's so important. So I'm curious to know, I mean, you mentioned a little bit about like why you wanted to be an entrepreneur given your background, but what was your why to really start Mada and then turn it into such a growing company like it is today? And it's been featured in so many different news articles all around the world. Like it's amazing.
Thank you. You know, I started my company when I was 19, and, you know, I started it because I really was the consumer. I saw that brands were really struggling to reach Gen Z, which is our generation. And AI was a super buzzy trend word, and all of these brands were using it in rather gimmicky ways. You know, in my personal opinion, they had these really cool smart mirrors when you'd walk into a store, but I was like, is this solving any issue for me? Like, I don't feel like it's serving any value outside of just being fun. And at the same time, like, online shopping, I think I felt, you know, and my friends did too, so overwhelmed by just like the sheer amount of choices there are out there. It's
Yeah,
like,
there's so much.
yeah, we're the first generation to literally grow up with the world in our pocket, the iPhone. And so our world is huge. And I think that that's really amazing and inspiring. But I think our world needs to be curated and made smaller. And so I think the combination of the two and like the right time in the market, I was just like, I have to build this. The why, I think that is, you know, what propelled me to start it. But I think like you have to find a why deeper and deeper than just like believing in what you're doing. 'Cause, you know, you have to be able to like have your why for when you have your 90-hour work weeks. And like, I've seen like the good that my company's been able to do and how we've been able to help all of these brands, especially through COVID. And I think that's really where so much of the why comes in for me personally.
No, I think that's a unique approach. I think from really looking at other entrepreneurs, whether it be through YouTube or if I get a chance to converse with one. Again, that goes to the point that there's so many moving pieces in entrepreneurship. There's really the content creation, there's like making sure your brand stands out and landing clients. Like, there's so much, even like finding that right educational background to be able to start a company in tech or in business or in your case, fashion. So, in your opinion, as an entrepreneur, really, what do you believe one should put most of their focus and vision towards?
I think that you have to, I think that changes through different stages of building. Like for a while when I was first building the app in school, it was a lot of like heads down working, just busting out creating this. And then I went through a period of time where my focus had to be solely on like signing on brand partnerships. And then it moved to marketing and press. And I think that as CEO, like, and founder, you have to wear many hats and you have to get very good at knowing where your focus needs to be in that moment. But that being said, like, I think it's very, very easy to get caught up in the managing and the putting out fires in the day-to-day. But I think the most important thing that an entrepreneur and a founder can do is keep coming back to focusing on your vision and your strategy. And like, you have to make time for big picture thinking once you get caught up in like the little day-to-day stuff, because you have to keep growing it. And like, that's the thing that I think makes entrepreneurs so like magical, in my opinion, is this ability to like see something really long term and then actually execute on it. And so it's this really like interesting balance between working in the macro and working in the micro. And it's taken me a lot of time to try to figure out that right balance.
Interesting. So you'd really recommend that? I think students need to have their foot in both places, not just big picture, but also take a step back, figure out the small strategies you need to execute on a day-to-day basis so you can ultimately achieve that big
Yeah,
picture.
and you have to be able to dream, but you also have to be able to get stuff done. And as your team grows, your responsibilities will grow. And that little micromanaging day-to-day stuff that you had to do, that you have to kind of suck up and do at the beginning, you'll eventually hand off to someone else. But like, you can't just dream and you can't just do, you have to combine the two.
I think I completely agree with that aspect. And I think seeing how you had to really take different hats, it really goes to show how there are so many technical skill backgrounds required, whether it's from one person such as yourself or the team that's working all together in a company such as Mata. So moving on to the next aspect of entrepreneurship, tech and skill background, I think I'm really curious. I'm sure this might be a question that you're asked a lot as well, but skill-wise, really, what do you believe is the core of a successful entrepreneur?
So in school, I was an English and creative writing major, which is a fancy way of saying I wrote and studied poetry for 4 years. So my technical background is in no way, shape, or form technology and fashion, which is, what I ended up into. So I think with hard skills, you can learn that by just diving into whatever it is you're doing. I learned more outside of class than I learned in class. Like, listen, we're sponges. We can learn so much by watching other people do. So those technical skills, I think you can easily pick those up, or you can hire people that can do that. But I think really what's really important is having confidence, not an ego. I don't think there's any room for being an ego when you're an entrepreneur, because if it gets bruised, no one makes good decisions that way. But like, having the confidence to like go after what you want to do, and you're going to face so much failure. And like, if you don't have the confidence, the failure will really shake you. And I got a lot of questions that were like, how did you weren't you nervous to do it? And I think, weren't you nervous to start this? And I think because of I think the way I was raised, like that thought didn't even occur to me. It wasn't, can I do this? It was, how can I do this? And so I think taking a mindset that like you can kind of do anything is really, really important starting out.
So, like, sometimes being an entrepreneur, while there are the hard skills that you need to attain, it's also that mindset, and like that can go unnoticed, but that can come really crucial from the day-to-day aspect to even the big picture, as you
Yeah,
mentioned.
like you can be the smartest person in the world, but like if you don't have the grit and the passion for something, or if you're nervous in your decisions, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think seeing what you've been able to accomplish, I'm sure you've had that mindset. It's brought great success to your company, and I'm sure for students listening, it can as well. But moving on and really talking about the different skill backgrounds that may be needed, obviously with entrepreneurship, you're trying to make sales, you're trying to get in touch with your target audience, sell your product, sell your service. So in terms of that, this was a question asked a lot as well for you to answer. How would you really recommend aspiring entrepreneurs land clients? There's so many different products and services out there in the fashion market today. So it's really important that one learns how to stand out.
So I think that it really, at least in my experience, comes down to storytelling, which is where my, you know, creative writing background served me very well. Like, yeah, I think that you have to be able to have other people believe in your vision, because when you're trying to, you know, sell to your first clients, or in my particular case, have these first brand partnerships to bring them on the app, like no one else, I was trying to get my first customers. There were no case studies or no proof of concept that I could show to be like, look at what we did with this brand. I was like, I need you first to believe in this before you see the hard numbers, before you see the performance. So when it's those first few, you really have to be able to sell like your vision and your belief in it and the potential. And I really think that's about how you tell the story, and it's about how you make people excited about it. I think if you look at some of the biggest brands and what sets them apart and things that are super popular today, like they're all the same. They can be similar products. A great product is great, but you have to do so much more than just have a good product nowadays. Yeah, there's too much out there. Anyone could build a good product. So it's really about like convincing them of that vision. And I think that that's a really great place to start. And then once you have those first few clients, you can be like, oh, look how I look how they performed while using my service. Mm-hmm. And that's how you bring on the next ones.
So it's really about connecting your company to a message, like obviously how Nike would just do it. And like, obviously there's so many more companies, but having that really message aspect, which also you mentioned, like having your English background and learning how to tell stories, it's more useful than like people may think.
Oh, 100%. I think that like soft skills, I think they're super underrated. I think everyone, like so many of my friends too in college, they're like, oh, I have to have this finance background or this or that so I can get a good job and career. And it's like, no, you don't. You can learn that. I think they're like the storytelling and the selling and the vision. I think that's really what you need as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think it's also all about having that lifelong learning approach, and how even if you may study one thing in a college, you can also pick up on these other things that you need for entrepreneurship. And I think that makes it so much more useful. So you have that all-rounded skill set. And also you mentioned about storytelling and really being able to provide a message, especially on those first impressions. Do you have any strategies on receiving funding and also like networking with VCs or angel investors? Because I'm sure like with entrepreneurship, a big side of the business side and being able to connect with the right individuals is learning to succeed on those strategies.
Yeah, I think that when you're first starting off and you don't have any sort of track record, and honestly, even when you do, though I can't speak to that as much, like an investor isn't investing. Yes, they're investing in your product or your service, but what they're really investing in is you. And that's really what I learned networking, and that it's, you know, they look for the team and they look for the founder and they're like, do we think this person can make it into something big? And really, I think the product has to be good, yes, but it really comes down to the people too. That's what I learned from a lot of VCs and a lot of angel investors. I was really lucky that I went the angel investor route. I just, VC didn't click for me at the time where I was at. And to me, you know, some advice for this is it took a hell of a lot. Oh, sorry, I don't know if I can turn here. It took a long time. It took so much longer than I thought it would to get funding. I naively thought I'd go there once, ask, and they'd be like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Because I was told, like, people are throwing money at young tech founders, you know? And, you know, you get a lot of no's. And I was really lucky that I found some investors that they said no at first, but then they helped me. They're like, no, fix this, come back again. No, fix this, come back again. And I kept doing it and I kept doing it until I finally got it right. That is incredibly rare. Most of the time, investors are just like, nope, good luck, find someone else. Investors will ask every question you didn't think of. So you have to anticipate absolutely everything before. But you learn so much throughout the process and you really like edit down what you're doing. And it becomes really helpful for like other stages when you need to grow the company outside of just funding. So it's a grueling process, but it's really worth it.
Yeah, I think even while you may have a numerous amount of no's, you want to learn from each of them. So ultimately, you can not only grow your company and really hopefully grow your financials as well, but also grow your own skill set and understand what works for a company and what doesn't for an investor. And really wrapping up, this has been an amazing conversation. You've provided so much thoughtful insight. You've mentioned a lot about that storytelling aspect, also how to craft your brand and your message to investors. But in your opinion, I'm sure, personally, I believe that there sometimes is that one defining quality that separates really business and entrepreneurs from others. So I'm curious to see what your input is on this matter.
That's a tough one. I think that what really separates businesses from startups is this idea of fail fast, fail forward. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think failure is very, very nourishing for my team. And it's something that we can overcome super quickly. So when something goes wrong, it's just another way to get something right. And sometimes I think of it like a slingshot. You have to pull it back to let it go forward. And the great thing is we're a small team, so we can move really fast and we can take all those experiences and use them to create something better, where I think that in standard organizations, it takes a lot to turn something, to take a mistake and to grow from it, because it's a big company, so it takes a lot to steer the ship. And I think a lot of the reason why big brands like to work with us is because we move really fast and we're nimble and we can, you know, build something in 3 weeks that would take them 6 months. So it's this idea of, you know, throwing a lot to the wall, seeing what sticks and then moving really fast with it. I mean, I can't speak to all entrepreneurs. Everyone works differently, but that's how my team works. Yeah. And I think that's why we've really been able to do things that a lot of some of the biggest companies haven't been able to do.
And that concludes today's episode. A huge thank you to the whole Mada team for this opportunity. They're continuing to revolutionize the fashion industry as we know it, so I highly recommend you check them out and just learn more about them. And a huge thank you to everyone out there listening. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and stay active on all our platforms, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor. Let us know if you have any career suggestions or entrepreneurship questions, and just continue to stay active on this journey of learning with us. This is XL Podcasts, signing off.